everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom's engineering and producing our program. He's on the other side of the glass today, where he always is. It's our midweek edition, Wednesday, September 8th, 2021. Tom, we're winding down with the summer thunderstorm season, also known as, a.k.a., the monsoon. And it's a record breaker. Well, close. I think it's very close to being the wettest on record.
Well, we'll probably be at least number two.
Oh, yeah. For sure. And have you noticed the little yellow butterflies everywhere?
And mosquitoes.
Oh, yeah.
Those pesky little guys have returned.
Oh, yeah. Went out for a short walk yesterday, and one wanted to get into my ear. I mean, they just, they're all over the place. Anyway, that's what happens when you have all that rain. We're on our 11th year here. Actually, January of 2022 will begin year number 12 in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to the Ward 6 Democrat, Councilman Steve Kasacek. Councilman, how are you today?
Doing pretty well. How are you doing, Bill?
Doing pretty well. I'm sure when you're out doing your modified runs in this very warm weather, you've encountered, too, the little yellow butterflies.
We have actually 10 different species outside the ward office. We've got, as you and Tom were just mentioning, everything's blooming now, and so they've really kind of gravitated here. So we have a guy, I don't know this stuff, but some guy showed up and he cataloged 10 different species of butterflies outside our ward office. So, Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah, no, to me, they're bugs with wings. That's as far as my entomology experience goes, but no, good stuff. In addition to everything that you two just mentioned, though, the pollen is out.
Oh.
So people are sitting around with their knuckles in their eyeballs all day long, too. So there's that.
I'll tell you what else is up. Not only the pollen count, but the weeds. I'll tell you, I'm from Illinois, and the weeds on our streets look like corn stalks.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I'm sharing a series of emails with our city transportation and code people right now. I've had several neighbors say, look, if we go out and hire a handyman to go and pull the weeds, will the city come by and pick them up for free? And, You know, we do the brush and bulky, and it's a really great program. And I'm trying to get the city to agree that, look, if we get neighbors to step up, because we're not going to, you know, the city can't catch up with that right now.
No.
And so if we got neighbors who want to do their part, then we'll pitch in too and get the place cleaned up again. But oh my gosh, pulling weeds for 15 minutes, you wind up sneezing the rest of the morning.
Oh yeah. Mandatory shots for city workers. It's something the council wants. However, the Attorney General of Arizona said stop it. So is it on pause right now, the vaccine mandate?
So pause is the right word for part of it. So just a little bit of background. About 80 to 85% of the city workers have been vaccinated and voluntarily for free, and when everybody else was doing it. And so we have about 1,000 employees who have, for a variety of reasons, said they don't want to get the vaccine. We instituted an ordinance that said that you need to get vaccinated by a certain date, and that date is now passed. And if you didn't do that, the first sanction would be 5 days of discipline. The city manager reserves the right to impose more kinds of workplace conditions, things such as if you're on the clock, you wear a mask at all times, you are restricted from travel, the impact on your health care premiums. We may be increasing health care premiums. So those kinds of things are still a piece of it. 2 weeks ago, Kelly Townsend from the Mesa area filed a complaint with the Attorney General saying that our mandatory vaccination policy was in violation of state law. Brnovich saw her complaint, and his first answer was, that state law doesn't go into effect until September 29th. And he's correct. And he was right the first time he answered her question. Evidently, some people got to him, maybe his political advisors, maybe the police union. I don't know who it was, but somebody got to him, and he issued yet another opinion yesterday. And it said that employees have the right to look forward to a law going into effect and assume that the city will be in compliance when it goes into effect. And therefore, he's found us found our ordinance to be in violation of state law. It's an interesting concept for the Attorney General to say a law is a law even before it becomes a law. It's sort of a gymnastic approach to his approach to legal theory.
It's preemption law.
Yeah, right. You know, but our position is a law is not a law until it becomes a law.
That's right.
And so, you know, for instance, if the legislature passes a law that says on September 29th it will become legal to drive 100 miles an hour on I-10, that doesn't mean we can start doing that today.
Right.
and so we are going to take the position with Brnovich that our ordinance is legal. We have some legal options in front of us. Kelly Townsend's complaint was filed under another law called SB 1487, and that law says any legislator can file a complaint about any city ordinance in the state, whether or not he or she represents that area, and it immediately comes before the Attorney General for his review. That's what's playing out right now. But we have legal rights within that law, and the first one would be to reply to his complaint, and we will, likely citing his first answer saying September 29th hasn't come and gone yet, and we got our ordinance in place ahead of that. Now, one of the things he said in his decision yesterday was that we had found a loophole in the law, and we're threading that needle, getting in ahead of the date, the effective date of the law. In fact, what we did was we looked at the escalation in COVID. It has gone up locally and statewide every week since the first week in June. In fact, the first week in June in Pima County, we had 130 new cases, and last week we had over 2,000. And so what we decided was, look, our next city council meeting is not going to be until September 14th. We wanted to make sure that we were being proactive, not waiting another 3 weeks before we took action. And so we advised our city workers that we held a special meeting to advise our city workers saying, you got to get a vaccine. And at the time, I said to the council, the 5 days off, in my opinion, is simply nibbling around the edges, and that if we really want to protect our coworkers, the 80% of the city workers who have gotten a vaccine, and if we want to protect the community, then we ought to make it a condition of employment, period. Get a vaccine or you forfeited your employment with the city. We'll have a meeting on the 14th, and I'm sure we'll be talking about Brnovich's opinion, and that's what it is an opinion. And we'll explore our legal options. And we will also look and to see where we are with respect to city employees, how many have gone ahead and gotten the vaccine, and how many have requested an exemption. There are a limited number of legitimate medical exemptions. I've spoken to the Pima County Health folks, and their position is that, look, people may have legitimate reactions to vaccines, and this one in particular. And so, if they can demonstrate that and have a doctor sign off, that's great. If you're suspicious that the government's inserting a microchip in you through this vaccine, that's not going to work. And we've heard that stuff. There's this social media campaign going on that this is some grand conspiracy. As far as the religious exemptions are concerned, there are some religious exemptions. You know, Scientology and some others say they just don't want to participate you know, in medical procedures. That's one thing. But to simply say, I had this road to Damascus revelation last week that I don't believe in this for religious reasons, that's not going to work either. So what is paused is our implementation of the five-day suspension. What has not paused is the city manager looking at these requests for exemptions and scrutinizing them, and we will take a position on them individually, one at a time, as to your, whether or not yours is legit or not. And so we got a ways to go on this. Again, Brnovich's opinion is an opinion, and we have legal rights. The next step could be to Superior Court, or it could be the state Supreme Court, but we're not done with this. We have not punted our ordinance and because Brnovich issued an opinion yesterday.
All right, Councilman, let's talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. I know you've had a great experience with the Danish Kringle, which is a Scandinavian pastry, light and tasty. It's a multi-layered pastry. When you did the Kringle, Councilman, what filling did you opt for?
Well, I got what was delivered to me at my mother-in-law's 100th birthday. But let me give you a pitch for another product that they have, and that I requested a cherry turnover from Mona's, and it was great. My wife went up there and got it when they took my mother-in-law up to breakfast one morning, and so they're about more than just the Kringle. It's basically anything that will satisfy your sweet tooth, they've got it.
You bet they will, and they're open right now for lunch, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, and as the councilman just pointed out, a lot of other great bakery goods. We had their a baguette, and had that over the weekend, dipping some of that wonderful olive oil that we purchased over in Central California on our trip last week. It was so good. So Mona's has lots going for you and all of our residents of Tucson. Their website, monasdanishbakery.com. More with Steve Kasachek after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. you too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back, midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We love Green Things, one of our great sponsors since 1970. That means they're in their 51st year of serving Southern Arizona, providing just beautiful plants. 13-acre site, also home to Zocalo Village, all that great merchandise. Much of it is handcrafted in Mexico and Latin America, and some from Europe as well. It's greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com for more. We continue now with our visit with Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasacha. Councilman, are we ready for, I don't know how large an influx, are we ready to welcome Afghani refugees to this community?
So, interesting question. I've been in a series of meetings with the International Refugee Committee and some of the some people from the Muslim community here in town that we have a good relationship with. So the answer is yes, we are ready, but the questions then become when, how many, you know, and will they be trickling in? Right now, the situation is that the refugee families are being sent to military bases scattered around the country. We know right now that three military bases up in the Phoenix area will receive some number of Afghan refugees. The real round number that we're hearing right now is perhaps in the neighborhood of 2,000 individuals. Then some portion of those will be sent to, and we're expecting Tucson because we've got DM and there's Fort Huachuca down in Sierra Vista. So Southern Arizona will receive some as well. Ideally, of course, you don't bring somebody here who's been from some amazingly traumatic situation, circumstances like they have been, and house them in a military base. I mean, the goal is to get them integrated into foster families, into next of kin relationships, into sponsor families, those kinds of things. We have a very fluid and active network here in Tucson as a result of many of the migrant families that we've worked with, through Casolitas, the Benedictine, and the work that we've been doing. I've also got a good relationship with the Islamic Center of Tucson. I've reached out to them, had an initial meeting with that group. They have people who speak the language. Just as recently as this morning, I'm sharing emails and meetings with the International Refugee Committee, who's really running point on this right now between the federal government and the dispersal of the refugee families. Realize that when they show up, they will have been through all the trauma that you've seen on TV. Really serious asylum issues, legitimate fear of fear of death if they go back, if they're sent back. In addition to that, though, they have a language barrier. They have obviously religious issues that we want to get them integrated in a Muslim community. There are dietary issues that we have to be cognizant of, and so there are lots of different things that we want to make sure that when they begin to show up, we're getting them connected with people who are going to be compassionate and aware of the kinds of things that they're going through. Some of the people I work with over at ICT, the Islamic Center, they're refugees as well, from Iraq, from Pakistan, from other areas. So they've been through the drill themselves, and are prepared to be very compassionate and very welcoming and help when the Afghan families begin showing up. We don't know when, but we know it's going to be soon.
The Benedictine Monastery, of course, was the center for refugees from south of the border earlier in the year. How is that project going, the apartment project?
It's really going amazingly well. In fact, in first week in August, I want to say, they opened up for leasing on the south portion of the project, so they already have people living there. They hope to be open up completely by the end of this calendar year. They're looking at high-end apartments on the perimeter of the monastery. In the monastery itself, they're looking at a restaurant, the upstairs portion, the downstairs portion. They're looking at amenities that some of the neighbors around can take part in, such as a gym, a workout center, a bike repair shop. And they're going to have some more smaller apartments in what were the nuns' quarters in the interior of the monastery. So it's moving forward, and they've already got people living there. And if you've driven by, I think you'll be amazed. The architecture complements but doesn't try and mimic the monastery. And so I think Corky Poster and his team did a really good job in all the design elements. I entered the project skeptical because we were used to seeing orchards and a monastery.
Right.
I think they've done a really nice job of integrating complementary architecture. What you don't want to do when you're dealing with an historic landmark is you don't want to try and copy it. And so they've done a nice job of like I say, complementing what's there, but without trying to mimic what's adjacent to it.
Getting back to the COVID variant, you spent a lot of time in your current newsletter talking about the variant. And, I know you watched some of the football. I know I did over the weekend. And the stadiums are just absolutely wall-to-wall people again.
Insane. It's insane. Sorry, it's insane.
No, yeah.
Our fans watched the BYU game. There were 60,000 people sitting in that stadium. No masks, no requirement of a vaccine. I think that the University of Arizona should put a requirement in that if you're kind of going to come to the U of A football game or any events in McHale Center, you need to show proof of a vaccination, until we get this thing behind us. That's not what's happening, and we've got a home game this weekend. They'll get 40,000 people into the stadium. At the same time these football games are going on, we have fans in McHale Center. Again, no requirement for masks or no requirement for vaccinations. The schools have just opened up because of the edict from Phoenix, so we have no ability to require masks, require vaccinations for students, and also no ability to do the virtual learning again. Not that that's the ideal situation, but spreading COVID through the school system is not ideal either. U of A just invited 40,000 more students into the community. Again, they're out doing what students do. They're out doing what you and I do when we were students.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is we weren't doing it in the midst of a pandemic. And The World Health Organization just identified last week that a new variant has popped up in Central America called the Mu variant, MU. They have had over 14,000 cases in Colombia. They had about 3,000 cases in Ecuador. And just as I was coming in this morning, I heard on the news that it's popped up in the U.S. now. So we are way, way from being done with this. And for our governor to be saying no masks, no vaccination mandates, for our attorney general to be saying the city of Tucson can't even require its own employees to be vaccinated when we interact with the public all the time, I think it's highly irresponsible. I think it's highly irresponsible for the U of A athletics program not to require vaccinations for people who show up at the football game this weekend. We have entertainment venues in the downtown core the Rialto, the Fox, some of the others, they are requiring vaccinations, proof of vaccination for people coming to the concerts. So kudos to them for caring. Club Congress, the same thing. Now, if you go to a show down there, you got to show proof of vaccination. I think that's the way we ought to be doing it. And from the governor to the attorney general to the president of the university and the athletics director here on campus, I think they're missing the boat. And the decisions they're making are going to keep us behind the eight ball longer and keep people in a precarious health situation. And bless our healthcare workers, because can you imagine having to come to your station for the last 18 months full PPE garb?
No. No, that'd be difficult.
But that's what our healthcare workers have been doing.
Oh, yeah.
For the last 18 months, for 12-hour shifts, holding the hands of people who are dying while their family members were unable to be involved. I just wish that we had a group of leaders in the education community and at the state level who were taking this more seriously than what they clearly are.
All right, Steve Kasachek, thanks for your comments. Back with you in a month or so. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Bill. Take care of yourself.
All right, Buckmaster Show, Midweek Edition. We continue with our Water Quarterly, Arizona Water Quarterly. Lots to talk about with Karen Caesar right after this.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Midweek Edition. Once a quarter here on the show, we focus on what I consider to be, and I probably won't get too many people arguing with me, about the most important resource for Arizona. Yep, it's water. This is our Arizona Water Quarterly presented by the Central Arizona Project. Your water, your future. Joining me now in studio, Karen Caesar is here, the Pima County representative on the Central Arizona Water Conservation District Board. How are you, Karen?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me.
So much news. Let's get right into it. The long-discussed Tier 1 shortage on the Colorado River is now a reality.
Yes, it is official. On August 16th, the Secretary of the Interior, as anticipated, declared the first ever Tier 1 shortage on the Colorado River. And I know your listeners have heard a lot about it. It's been in all the newspapers, all the media outlets. Our general manager, Ted Cook, I think spoke to every local, national, and even international media outlet on this declaration.
So now that it's official, let's drill down. What does it mean for us here in Arizona?
Well, what it means is it's a substantial cut to Arizona's share of the Colorado River. This means it's about a 30%. It's about a 30% of CAP's normal supply. There's a big hit. That also kind of rolls up to be about 18% of Arizona's total Colorado River supply. Remember, we have on-river users as well. But it is only about 8% of Arizona's total water use. So it is significant, but there are other water resources as well that we have.
But for me and all of our listeners who are individual consumers of water, what does this really mean?
Well, as far as the cities go, it really is not going to change much at all in what you're going to see. And cities and tribes, our high priority water users, are not going to see really reductions in their water use right now. But the people that are taking the hit are the agriculture users. So any agricultural listeners out there, you already know this. In Pima and Pinal County primarily, your supply will only be about one-third of what it is today. So that is a big hit. But it's also important to know that this was not unexpected. We've been working with the agricultural community. They've been at the table through the drought contingency plan and have been prepared for this. So, in fact, because of the drought contingency plan that we passed in 2019, there'll be a little bit of CAP supply available to them for next year to help offset those reductions.
But our listeners will not be seeing less water at the tap.
No, that's correct. The cities, along with the tribes that have the highest priority water use in the CAP system, will not see any impacts next year. But it's also important to note that the impacts of this drought are, projected to persist multiple years, and everybody's keeping their eye on that. So we know we're in a Tier 1 now, but they're also looking at the projections for, 2, 3, 4 years out and beyond. And, what could happen if things continue to go this way is there could be reductions. We could get into a Tier 2 or Tier 3, and that becomes a little bit more concerning. And, it's a serious situation, and it's going to call for some really serious solutions.
So let's talk a little bit about what some of those solutions might entail, Karen Caesar.
Well, there's a wide variety, and in the coming months and years even, we'll be talking even here on this program about some of these, and they range from studying desalinization, which we are already looking into, some conservation sharing agreements with our lower basin counterparts, and that's going to remind everybody that is California and Nevada, water recycling, and moving non-Colorado River water through the CAP canal using something we have in place called the System Use Agreement. So we'll be continuing to work on the guidelines that will lead us forward after 2026 as well. It's called reconsultation. And, we're going to be ready for that when the drought contingency plans expire. So there's a suite of things that are going on.
Karen, I've been hearing about some of these conservation sharing agreements. What is that all about?
Well, this is everybody really realizing that in the Southwest, in the region, we're really all in this water, water situation. situation together, and we have to really work cooperatively to solve these problems. For example, CAP recently finalized a partnership with Metropolitan Water District of Southern California, more or less CAP's counterpart for Southern California, as well as the Southern Nevada Water Authority, same, along with the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation, to fund some short-term agriculture fallowing programs with the Palo Verde Irrigation District in California. So that basically that district will forego planting and save some water. They will be compensated by these agencies, and the water that they do not use will be able to be left behind in Lake Mead to raise those elevations.
And could that raise the elevation a little bit anywhere?
It will. It's projected it could be as much as a 3-foot increase over the next 3 years.
Hey, and it's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing. And those 3 feet can make a difference between a tier two or tier three shortage. And it also can have a big impact on the hydroelectric generation capacity of Hoover Dam. So, like I said, these are big, serious problems, everybody's working together. The water managers are all very aware of this and what's projected to be coming down the pike, and we're all working very hard to come up with good solutions that will help everybody.
Well, we'll be keeping a real close eye on that. And of course, we've had such a great monsoon, summer thunderstorm season. However, there's been some damage that's been associated with it.
Right. So, you know, we all are enjoying this fabulous, almost record-breaking, still hope for a record-breaking monsoon. But it's kind of ironic that we're the embarrassment of water riches here in Southern Arizona right now, but we still have, number one, you know, our shortage situation, and also some of that rain, particularly a storm event that happened last month around the Pocatello Peak area, did cause some damage where off flows from outside of our canal busted through the dike and started flowing into the canal.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, it was our water control dispatchers. You know, we monitor the system 24/7, 365. Our water control water heroes are there watching the entire system from headquarters. They noticed the water rising, alerted the right people, and it was soon discovered that, yes, we were taking on water. They acted quickly to basically make space downstream to handle that water coming in, and figured out how to at least, you know, put a Band-Aid on the problem.
They had to move very quickly.
Very quickly. The good news is, so there was about 4,000 linear feet of canal lining that was damaged. It was pretty significant. But the good news, I guess, the silver lining on this is a couple things. We have our planned fall outage coming up, and we're just going to extend that a little bit longer and get a big jump on the fix of this canal. And we responded quickly, and we're also really going to be working on, how do we look at our system holistically and basically be prepared for some of these more extreme storm events in the future.
Yeah, I mean, the rain is wonderful, but it is the Colorado River. A lot of it's coming from the Rocky Mountains, so this really won't impact that tier one situation.
Right.
Important point.
It's a very important point. Everybody needs to pay attention to snowpack this winter. One other quick thing I just learned, thankfully, because of some of the rain the Rocky Mountains have gotten, the soil moisture content is increasing up there. Last year, part of the problem was it was so dry that even when it did snow or rain, nothing ran off. It all soaked into the ground. We can appreciate that here. So now, even in the Colorado River watershed, the summer rains are going to help a little bit.
So even though the damage was significant, a plan for repairing it was part of the maintenance schedule.
Yes, we're going to be able to maintain this. We were able to make all our water deliveries and provide the water that our customer had ordered. And so, I think it's just an example of, you can plan all you want, but in the end, we still have a very big canal system, and it requires human beings monitoring the system and being able to make some quick decisions and quick actions, in these unforeseen events.
Karen, before we go, a couple of quick items. Anything new that we should know about at CAP?
A few things. Number one, I really want to make a plug for our next session of CAP University. If any of your listeners really want a deep dive, you can register for that. It's free, and you can go to centralarizonaproject.com and sign up for CAP University. That is going to be September 29th. And we have a new website,
really?
New and improved. I thought we had a good website before.
But, it's been upgraded.
But it has been upgraded, you know, improved navigation, lots of infographics. Some of these really complex issues are so well described in infographics, and you can go there. And always you can sign up for the knowyourwaternews.com website, and then it will, push emails will come to you, keeping you updated on all things CAP water.
All right, Karen Caesar, always good information. We'll look forward to your next report. We'll have the latest by the end of the year on the Tier 1. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right. And for more information, let's point people to the website, which is cap-az.com.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. Back in a moment.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster, and this portion presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We're going up to 104 by the end of next week. So that means I turn to the weather at Silver City, 84 degrees right now. You know, our guarantee is 10 degrees cooler. You know, it's a fun guarantee, but that guarantee sometimes can even stretch into 15, even 20 degrees cooler than Tucson. It's a great mile high elevation. So much going on this fall. A quick note about the Gila River Festival, September 16th through the 19th. Do a little fly fishing, maybe do some birding. It's all about the Gila River. Go to southwestnewmexico.org to start your planning right now to visit Silver City, just a three-hour drive from Tucson. Time for our expert on Washington governmental affairs. He is Terry Bracey, whose unique role in representing Tucson's interests began with a 10-year stint on the staff of the famed Congressman Morris K. Udall. Terry was then appointed to sub-cabinet positions by President Carter and subsequently served under four presidents of both parties. He's the founding partner of the respected public affairs firm Bracey Tucker Brown, which has worked on many of Tucson's successes in the nation's capital. Terry, how are you?
Bill, I'm just great. Back from a golf trip, and sorry to miss my regular spot, but here I am.
There you are. You have 25 years leading that team that you've been competing over, I believe at Sand Hills in Nebraska. You had a great trip. How did the golf tournament go?
Well, we did very well for old men. You know, we're not what we used to be, Bill, but it was fun.
It was great.
Hey,
keep at it.
Great.
Keep at it. The President, Terry, had a very tough August, certainly with Afghanistan, the spread of the Delta variant. Terry, do you believe he can recover from this?
Bill, I do. Remember, the President Nixon had the same kind of messy withdrawal from Vietnam, and then President Reagan had a similar situation when all of a sudden he had to pull all of our troops out of Beirut when 241 of our soldiers were killed in a bombing. Neither incident was an issue in their reelections. As a friend recently put it this way, today the next election is two World Series away. We got a long time to go.
And, of course, the Biden presidency has been built around three words, getting things done. Terry, do you think he can accomplish much in the near term?
Well, it's clear that he's got to get his program passed. We're talking about, Bill, people keep in mind, the largest investments in U.S. infrastructure since President Eisenhower began the interstate highway system. Huge. Mm-hmm. On top of that, some version of this $3.5 trillion bill that passed the House is likely to get through in the end. And my guess is that the final bill will focus on fair taxes, measures to attack climate change, lower prescription drug costs, and greater access to community colleges.
Of course, the president has to get a hold of the his success really depends on how he deals with the Delta variant. He has a major address planned tomorrow, Terry, in Washington about the Delta variant, but it's a big deal.
It's the crux of everything, Bill. As much as I love my golf trip in rural Nebraska, and I just heard Steve talk about it in Arizona at the football game, no one at the football game that I attended was wearing a mask. No one. So I don't know what the president can do about that other than work with industry and continue to persuade Americans to protect themselves and their neighbors. In my view, some of these right-wing governors are guilty of manslaughter.
You know, going back to the trip, did you feel a little different? When you get out of D.C. and like you went to Mid-America, what kind of feeling did you have there in Nebraska?
I love the people. I've gone back year after year. It's like a trip back into the 50s, which weren't all great, but these are the friendliest, sturdiest, most hardworking people you'll ever meet in your life. Mullen, Nebraska, a town of 400 people, and every single person is out there to watch their eight-man football game. It's really something. I had a great time with them, and I've gotten to know a lot of them.
Terry, what about the news about this Texas abortion law, this new Texas abortion law? Your thoughts on that, please.
Well, first, Bill, I think it's unconstitutional, not because it overturns Roe v. Wade through the back door, which it does, but because it sets Americans against each other without recourse for the accused. In my 50 years in politics, I see it as one of the worst violations of human rights I can remember in this country. Imagine what they're doing is they're telling citizens they're to be financially rewarded for turning in their neighbors. If they have any idea that an abortion is being done beyond the 6-week limit, And then if it turns out that all of this was just nothing, then the people who were accused have no recourse to go back at these other people. I mean, it turns every Texan into a prosecutor. This is not America. This is just terrible.
What is causing the, in your opinion, Terry Bracey, extremism in red states?
Well, Bill, I really believe that we're kind of witnessing the last days of complete white male control of America. And that's bad for me, I guess. But that's what we're seeing. And whether these crazy actions are that we see by these governors are the dying rattle, and we move on, hopefully, to a new multicultural leadership, or whether some form of autocracy takes hold, that's the question. For the first time since Reconstruction, we are witnessing 18 red states taking direct action to discourage voting by minorities. Worse, they're giving state legislatures the authority to effectively overturn the results of a majority vote of an election and decide for themselves who won. I mean, this is taking us down a dangerous road.
Something tells me my next question to you about optimism will again turn to you being the optimist.
Well, I am. You know, I think this too will pass. I can't imagine in the end the American people are going to put up with this. I think we're living in an era of tremendous technological advancement, and the U.S. business world seems to be operating very efficiently. The markets are at all-time high. And we're finally finished with an endless war. I see immigration not as a negative, but new talent flowing into the country through immigration. And America's greatness can only advance if we accept the advantages of multiculturalism. And I believe we will.
I got about 1 minute, Terry, with you, so I do want to get your take on how big a hit is this for the Democrats for 2022, what the problem with Afghanistan?
Well, Bill, I go back to the situation with both President Nixon and President Reagan. You know, I think the American people really are focused on domestic issues, and I believe that's what really settles American elections. Now, there's some exceptions, but when you think of how we exited Saigon with the helicopters taking out the last people hanging on, and if you look at Beirut, where terrorists literally blew up almost 300 Marines at once, and these were terrible, terrible times, and of course, the press was just as horrible and worse, really, than today. I think it's going to be a non-factor in another year. And beyond that, Bill, this was probably done with poor PR, but when you lose a war, it's hard to get out cleanly. And I think you've got to salute the military for the biggest single airlift in American history carried out. There were deaths, but not nearly the number of deaths there were in past exercises of this kind.
All right, Terry Bracey, always a pleasure. We will also look for your columns appearing periodically in the Arizona Daily Star. I want to put that plug in there as well, Terry.
Thank you, Bill. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. Terry Bracey with us on the Buckmaster Show, which wraps up right now. Thanks to Tom Fairbanks engineering and producing our program. We've got Dave Ramsey and his popular show about money coming up right now on KVOI. Have a great afternoon.